Chapter 1. How I Got My Name. My name has been a point of contention for me for most of my life. By the time I reached junior high, my insecurity about it reached an apex, mainly because people couldn't pronounce it correctly. People call me Joanna, Joshua, Johan, Johan. You get the point. When I became a Christian, kids would tease me and call me Jehovah. When you're a teenager, you just want to fit in. And if you have an odd first name, most kids have the option to fall back on their middle name. In my case, I didn't have this option because my middle name is Kirsten, which is a girl's name. Yeah. My full name is Jonah Kirsten Carlin Sorrentino, so I had zero options. I had a Hebrew name, Scottish name, Sicilian name, or a girl's name to pick from. It was just the worst possible scenario you can imagine. When you hit a time where you really don't want to stand out. My whole entire life, I never met another person named Jonah. People would make references to the story in the Old Testament. To be honest, that's the only Bible story I really ever knew because I didn't grow up in a church-based home. To give you some further context for this story, I should mention, my home wasn't very conventional. I called my parents by their first name probably up till about 10 years ago. I was raised to call them by their first names because my parents wanted us to be on equal footing. I didn't know any different. I grew up thinking everybody did that. I found out years later my mom almost named me Sky. Her side of the family was very much into boating, sailing, and the like, stuff like that. My dad's side of the family is from Jersey. Both my parents were artistic people. They couldn't agree on a name for me, and so up to the moment when I was born, they hadn't landed on a name, and their idea was, well, we'll just name him later after we bring him home. So I was born. The doctor insisted that they had to name me. So apparently they asked the doctor just for a name he hadn't heard in a long time. I find it interesting they wanted to go with a name that was uncommon. To me, it seemed like from the moment I was brought into this world, the whole purpose was that I wouldn't be like anybody else. But when I just wanted to blend in when I was 12, it became a real problem. In hindsight, my name has defined everything about who I am. There's never been anything typical about who I am. Years later, I wear that like a badge of honor. I'm proud of the uniqueness of how I was raised. I'm proud of all the perspectives I've seen. But you can only appreciate these things in hindsight. You never have that kind of perspective when you're trying to walk it through in the moment. So the doctor said Jonah was a name he hadn't heard in a long time. For some reason, it clicked for my parents. Again, there wasn't any religious reference in their mind. And as my dad explains it, years later, they were driving through Amish country. They stopped somewhere and I was in the back seat crying. Then an Amish couple actually stopped them and said, "Hey, what's the baby's name?" They said Jonah. And the Amish couple said, "That boy will be a preacher someday. Listen to those lungs." The story kind of blows my mind. Another cool fact, my dad actually told me that he recorded my first sound, meaning when I was born, he was there with a tape recorder to capture the first things that came out of my mouth. So I look back on these things and I have to conclude I was meant to be unique and I was meant to be on the microphone. One more interesting element to my story is the fact, in a lot of ways, I ran from God. I ran from him for most of my adolescence. I ran from my calling, so to speak. Just like the biblical Jonah, who also did something incredibly unique. Most prophets spoke to the Jews, and yet Jonah's calling was to go to the Gentiles and to call them to change. But he ran from his unique calling. And even the way God got his attention inside of his running was very unique. I can't help but draw some really interesting parallels and feel a kinship to them. But again, I was very embarrassed by my name. In junior high, one of my good friends started calling me Bones, because Jonah rhymed with Bona, and Bona became Bones. For most of my adolescence, this name stuck with me. So when I became a DJ, and that's in quotes because I never actually DJed, I just pretended like I could scratch on a single turntable in the living room. Naturally, my name became DJ Bones. To this day, if you know that friend of mine, he still calls me Bones. When I started rapping, for the life of me, I couldn't come up with a good name because there's really nothing cool about Jonah. I didn't want to go with my name, and it was sort of like a rite of passage to have a rap name back then. I remember messing around on my folder at one time in school, just sketching bubble letters, and I wrote King J. That name just sounded large to me back then, just for some reason. Then I added Mac. So King J Mac was my initial moniker. At the time, the Mac part was just a real easy way to just have a rap name. For example, if your name was John, J-Mac could have been your rap name. So I liked King J-Mac, but I soon realized like it's way too long. It didn't write very well from a spelling standpoint. And the worst part about it, if I ever found myself in a battle, Mac rhymed with whack. Right off the bat, I was in trouble. So my initial rap name only really lasted for a year or so. When I hooked up with Golden Child, I remember talking to Dax from Tunnel Rats, who out of the blue said, "I'm not going to call you King J Mac, I'm going to call you KJ." That stuck with me. It was obvious to me that KJ was shorter, it was an easier name to say, and that for no particular reason, the number 5'2 popped in my head. There was literally nothing particular about it. No particular reason why that number stuck out to me. Then I remember going to Golden Child's house as we were formulating our first rap group, and I said, "Hey, from now on, I'm going to go by KJ52. And he asked, "Well, what does that mean?" I said, "I have no idea, but I'm going to go with it." It wasn't until years later when I got a record deal that I attempted to attach meaning to it. So I looked up the numbers 5 and 2, and that led me to the story of when Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish and then he multiplied it. The story really resonated with me because I don't have a lot to offer, but I try to give Christ everything I have. Even if I just feel like what I have is a little, I know he's going to multiply it. I use that as a way to keep myself focused, keep myself humble, and keep myself in the right state of mind. If you flash forward years later, while I was working on the documentary of my life, I found a drawing that I did when I was very young. I had drawn a sailboat. For no particular reason, I wrote the number 5-2 on the sailboat. I must have done this when I was about 4 or 5. So out of all the numbers, why would I pick those two numbers, right? I mean, suddenly I realized why in that moment when I was looking at the picture. I realized why I put 5-2 on there. It's because 5 and 2 is a balanced number. Meaning, the way I drew it, I made the 5 as an inverse of the 2. They mirrored one another, in other words. When I used to draw, everything had to be balanced and symmetrical. If I did something on one side, I had to balance it out with the other side. And I realized one of the reasons why I picked KJ52, because deep in my subconscious mind, the number was a balanced number. I didn't even realize it until about 2 years ago. Nothing about my life has ever been typical, normal, or easy. And I'm glad God orchestrated it that way.